The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
The new nightclub is opening apparently on Dalier Street tomorrow night. This is a rare occurrence. It brings to about 50 the number of nightclubs in this country when once there was 500. Ian Redmond is the owner of Hyde Nightclub and venue and the operator of Ohana Tiki Bar. Ian, it's good to talk to you and see you again. How rare is this, a new nightclub opening?
It's good to be back, Kieran. Thanks for having me in. It is quite rare, and best of luck to the guys, Jerry and Paul, who are opening it. It's the old tram line. I spent 15 years of my career running it from the 21 Club to tram line, and it's really, really tough. So they have some challenges ahead of them, but they're good operators, so I think they'll make it work.
Why do you suspect, where once we had 500, we now have 50?
It's lots of things. It's down to the lack of licensing reform, which we've been banging our heads against the wall for the last 20 years, and in particular the last 4 years, where the current government have been saying they'll reform it and they're just sitting on their hands. It's a change in youth culture as well, a move away from going out clubbing to connecting with each other through social media and through TikTok and Snapchat, and a move towards fitness as well. There's a huge amount of teenagers and young adults now who are, their life revolves around fitness rather than going out and having a session. But, you know, nightclubbing isn't just about having a session out. It's about meeting people. It's the face-to-face. It's the dancing. It's a rite of passage. And I just hope that we don't lose it altogether. But it's not looking great for the country at the moment.
So the 90s, was that the peak? Was that peak nightclub?
Absolutely, yeah.
What were the peak nightclubs in the 90s?
Well, I remember my first trip to the Temple of Sound and to Pod and Temple Theatre, and just the sound system hitting in the chest. Before that, Hollywood Nights was just legendary, and Club 92, fantastic venues. And I DJed in the Sarah Curran Club, Sarah and Rathfarnham, for 2 or 3 years. Leeson Street Clubs, Howl at the Moon on Main Street, just next door. I did my last gig in 1998 with Mark McCabe, who I believe is coming on.
Yes.
He did the Maniac 2 years before he became the Maniac 2000. So it was a phenomenal time. The 90s were just off the charts. They were brilliant.
Yeah, Mark McCabe is with us. He of Maniac 2000 fame. I have to say, and if you do the maths, I think I was possibly about 17 at the time. I went to see Mark at the Coup in Kilkenny, and it was an absolutely banging night. It was brilliant. Mark, was that the kind of peak nightclub and clubbing era in this country?
it was definitely good times. Was it the peak? I mean, it's, I suppose it depends on what age you are. Yeah. I know Ian
about,
well,
about 15 years, 20 years ago was always the peak of everything in people's minds.
Exactly. For me, it was the noughties on, really, with the sort of the birth of the super club, and especially with, you know, Ibiza sort of taking off, and Cream in Liverpool, and Ministry of Sound in the UK. But I mean, I experienced a lot of the clubs that Ian was talking about there, especially the Temple Theatre, which was a converted church. And, you know, to be able to have a night out with one of your favourite DJs with a banging sound system and a huge lighting rig in what was an old church that still had the, you know, the infrastructure from the church inside it, was such an amazing experience. But I was really shocked, I have to say, when I heard, it was only yesterday that I heard that this club was opening. And, you know, I thought of Ian because I know how much effort and how passionate Ian is about the nightclub industry, and they ran Tramline so well, and it was, you know, it was a flagship venue in the city centre. It was, you know, a go-to place for students on a Monday or a Tuesday night, and it was really a sad day when it closed, because it was one of the last clubs then to close in the city centre, really, and that was kind of the end of it. It kind of marked the end of it. Mm. So I think they're very, very brave in going back at it. I'm not so sure exactly what their plan is, but I've been on a few times now talking about, you know, the licensing reform and the Give Us the Night campaign, and nightclubs closing around the country, and how I see it. And you know, it's definitely, it's in a very bad state for a lot of reasons, as Ian said, legislation being the number one thing. Mm. Unfortunately, I do think there is a change in culture.
Sorry to cut across you, but
go ahead.
What with licensing reform, what might a healthy... Not nighttime economy in the broader sense, but what might it mean for nightclubs? How would they be reinvented or reimagined in a more thriving way with licensing reform?
So I think what's happened is there's been confusion with the campaign, because I think originally the campaign started out as being something that would allow promoters or events to run in different locations and for longer. So if you wanted to go out and you wanted to see a DJ, and that was the main purpose for you going out, you could do that within a venue that suited that purpose. It got confused with people thinking that this was an extension to licensing laws so that people could drink until 6 o'clock in the morning. And I think that's what kind of killed it, because people picked up the wrong thing. It's not really about that. I think that it is about that, because there is, you know, an economy there that needs to be serviced. But it's very hard to sort of compare what's happening in Dublin to what might be happening down in somewhere more rural, where it's literally one nightclub in a village that's servicing 2,000 people. And those guys are suffering with, you know, the VAT rate, insurance, with commercial rates, and so on. And that's where the death of the nightclub is really happening, I think, is in these smaller rural locations.
Well, Catherine Lynch, I understand, was out every single night in the 1990s. Is that right, Catherine?
I was out every single night, and you guys were gods. We loved DJs back then. Everybody wanted to be with the DJ.
Catherine, I haven't seen you in a while.
How are you? How's it going? But yeah, I mean, it was just fantastic. For me, it was like an ever-changing carousel of costumes and faces and themed parties, and all the every club owner had themed nights. So I had a night. You know, most of my friends would have a nice place. I had a residency in the city called Busty's G-Spot, and drag queens all performed on that. And then we had Powder Bubble, and Powder Bubble, like at one time you'd have 2,500 people in the place, all dressed up, all a dolly mixture of straights.
Legendary and night, or Red Box, yeah, Catherine, yeah.
Legendary night. And it was like before pronouns were even invented. We had every pronoun in the world in there. It was fantastic. So in a lot of ways, Dublin has regressed, and it's not as cool as it used to be. And of course, I sound like an old woman saying this now, because my mother would say, oh, it was better in my day too. But in defense of Take Back the Night as well, every single part of the city was policed by bouncers outside doors, by, you know, and it was a safer place for young people to come in. And it was a community. Like, I mean, there's people I know from so well and don't have their phone numbers. You guys know what I'm talking about. You meet everyone on the street and you've met them in clubs and you're great friends with them. You don't even have their phone number, but you stop and you talk and you have a great connection. And you did say something about, you know, fitness levels. My fitness levels were at an all-time high in the 90s. I was the thinnest I ever was. Actually, the biggest part of me was my pupils.
Right, okay. We won't investigate that too much. Did you kind of take for granted, Catherine, that would last forever? Like, this is what nighttime is like now.
You're talking to the right person, because I'm still like in a position of sadness. I still am sad that Dublin is the way it is now. And I get what Take Back the Night means. It means an awful lot more than just business. It's a community. It's a bohemian set. It's a place where people can express their gender, their sexuality, their selves. It's a place where, you know, clubs bring people out of their shyness. They give them a sense of, you know, belonging. I could get emotional now, lads, but it's deeply missed in deeply missed in Dublin. And it's greed. The hotels come in and took all our spaces and decided that they were more important than the average.
And I suppose it's the larger venues as well, Catherine, likes the Three Arena, who put on fantastic shows, and the youth of today that, like, they'll spend €100 on a ticket to see the latest DJ, but they won't spend €10 to, or even €5 to pay the admission cost of a nightclub, which is so important because it goes to the security costs. It's €30 an hour for every security guard, you know, you have in your venue. You might need 10 of them a night for a 6-hour shift. All these extra costs, insurance and all your input costs are 40% on where we were pre-COVID. So it's just been so difficult to recover since COVID.
And Mark, I assume as well, it's kind of pop-up venues as well. It's probably where the business is at the moment to a degree, is it?
Yeah, I mean, it's the shift is definitely, as you mentioned there, you know, I mean, people have no problem spending €100 to go and see, say, BLK in the Three Arena. There's 15,000 people there for St. Patrick's Day. And that's going to continue. Longitude's coming up. There's a merge in Belfast. And those are, you know, they're sold beyond what their capacity. For me, a lot, what it's transferred to is I'm being booked for, you know, tents, faucet circus tents when it's not been used. They used it for 3 days across the bank holiday weekend, and they put on 3 shows across the weekend. So it's shifted to these slightly bigger events and these kind of one-off, bespoke, you know, roll into a town, do
faucets,
a show and get
faucet
out.
Circuits are in Kilkenny this weekend, and I fear I'm going to be dragged along with my 7 and 9 year old. And Mark, I wish I was back in the coup, age 17.
A clown doing the maniac.
Yeah, exactly. I wish I was back there.
Mean that with the best love in the world, yeah. Mark.
Ian, I'm sorry even before I ask the question that I'm about to ask it, but I mean, was COVID the final nail in the coffin for a lot of them?
Coming out of COVID, the first 3 months was just off the charts. Every night was like Mardi Gras. But then it moved on to festivals and it moved on to live. And it was, you know, and all the businesses had all these warehouse tax debts that were just insurmountable. And I know the Department of Finance did their best and the revenue did their best to kind of put schemes in place, but it was just insurmountable for some businesses. So a shame.
Well, listen, we wish them the best of luck at Soho Dublin and Dalier Street. When it opens, when is it opening? Tomorrow night. It is opening on Saturday night. So if you're in the area, head along. Catherine Lynch might even be there, comedian. Mark McCabe, DJ, producer. Ian Redmond, owner of Hyde Nightclub and venue and operator of Ohana Tiki Bar as well. Listen, folks, thanks a million for chatting to us. Sides was a great nightclub, says one listener on 087 1400 106. Somebody else said they'd go out into town if there was more darts home a little bit later in the evening. A little bit earlier in the show, we were talking about nightclubs. The new nightclub is opening on Dalier Street in Dublin this weekend on Sunday night, or Saturday night rather, Soho Club. And it brings to about 50 the number of nightclubs in Ireland. That number, back in the 90s, the heyday of the nightclub was about 500. Gives you a sense of how that part of the nighttime economy has completely changed. And loads and loads of people. Mark McCabe was with me earlier, amongst others, remembering those heydays. And so many of you remember them as well, judging by the texts, the great, great texts that have come in talking about different clubs up and down this country. 087 1400 106. I mean, there's still time to share those memories if you want. There's a few people on the line with their memories, like Martina. Martina in Offaly. Martina, you're welcome to the show. What was the first?
Thank you very much.
What was the first club or nightclub or disco that you went to? Can you remember?
I can. I think I was about 15 or 16 at the time, and I had lived in Bury, you see, in Offaly, and I asked my parents if I could go to a disco, you know, and they said, "Yeah, that's fine," because it was local. It was only about half a mile down the road, you know. So I was grateful in the past then. So it was, the memories will always be there with you. Sort of will. And oh my God!
Go on.
Oh, sorry. 1 year I was asked. There was a load of us there. A load of locals and a lot of the friends who I used to be living in the house and estate, all of us would actually gather and go down to the disco at the time. So, and oh, it was unreal, like.
And was it a big part of going out, like every, you'd always end up in a nightclub? It was the ultimate kind of destination.
Well, I didn't start going to nightclubs in Bar in Melbourne's in Bar until I was about 20. I think I was around 20-ish.
God, Martina, you were a late bloomer, were you?
A late bloomer, I'm afraid, yeah. And I was in Melbourne's nightclub actually for my 21st. I went out with a load of friends and boyfriend that I had at the time. I met him at a nightclub, you know. I met him at the nightclub, so sure, it was great.
Great memories. I'm sure Rosemary is with me from Buncrana as well. Rosemary, where was the place to be in the 90s in Donegal?
Oh, we always went up to the, what do you call it, in Letterkenny? The Grill, sorry. I'm a bit nervous here, sorry. The Grill, and they had buses coming from Buncrana, and there'd be 4 or 5 buses going up, and the same as your other caller, we'd all meet up, get ready, get dressed up, and have the pre-gaming, and just, you know, go up to the grill and the bus and stuff. So, and everything was kind of included. You paid so much on the bus, and that got you in. And I think you got like a drink and your chip and burger and chip and stuff.
Whoa. Yes, sir. You got a supper out of it as well.
Yeah, and I can't remember. I think it was like 20 euro, £20, €20, yeah. That was before 90. I moved to the States in 96, like, but yeah, it was great.
Ah, that's not bad value now. A bus to and from the disco, you get a supper out of it and a drink and admission as well, all for £20.
Yeah, it was something like that. Yeah, it wasn't that much at the time, you know.
And then how much drink would you sneak in on the bus?
I wasn't really, no, I didn't really.
I'm Rosemary, come on, you can admit it now, it's 30 years ago.
Oh, there might have been a few of those triple X.
All right.
With the straw. Yeah, the pre-gaming, as they say. My brother met, he was out in the States with me, and he came home in 2003, 2004, and his first night out was in the grill, and he met his wife the first weekend that he was out, so, and they're married now. They were in Australia for years, and then they were back, and they're married, four kids. So,
I'd say many's a romance started in the grill.
Oh, definitely, yeah, definitely.
And many's a romance came a scupper in the grill as well, I'd say.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah, when you go to the bathroom, catch them out in the slow set with somebody else.
Kigo is with me as well. Kigo, where was the place to go when you were younger?
Well, you see, I became a teenager in the 90s. So the first half of the 90s, the nighttime economy revolved around the local field. Every group of friends had one fella who had a beard from very young age, held back in school for a long time, eating mints from his lunchbox. But we sent him into the off-license with all our pocket money, and the nighttime economy was the local field. Before we graduated to the nightclubs, that was where we learned how to be humans, feral humans, because there was no social media back then. You know, when we left, our parents didn't know when we were coming home.
And tell me this, like, once you graduated from the local field and the few cans or the naggin or whatever you could get your hands on, where did you go?
Oh, well, just to let you know, I got higher level drinking in the Leaving Cert. So we graduated well, got full marks there. But we did the full on Crouching Tiger, Hidden Naggin, going into various dodgy establishments. It starts off with the Young Discos, you know yourself. And then we kind of tried to sneak in behind our bearded friend into places, beautiful places. Now, I don't know what the statute of limitations are on these things, but
it ran out years ago. Unless you're about to tell me you killed someone, Kigo, you're all right.
Listen, my dance moves have been known to stop people's hearts, but I don't think they died, so we'll be all right. But now you creep into the old places, like what was the place up in Leopardstown? They used to, and then you just go, as you said, there's about 600 places in town.
The Lep Inn or the Club of Love? Remember the Club of Love?
Oh, the club. There you go. The Club of Love. That's it. It was an ironic name. I never found love in there. So,
no, I was there a few times myself. God almighty,
picture,
the Club of Love.
Your picture was above the bar. Don't serve that guy. So, you know, you got yourself a... But you'd go door to door in town looking for a party, you know, it was great crack.
It was absolutely great crack. John the Napper says, the Gala Roller Disco in Ballyfermot in the 80s. Plenty of ripped arses and the white disco pants. Richard the Thatcher says, Sir Henry's in Cork in the 90s, the best nightclub ever. A fabulous nightclub scene like only Cork could do. I think that's where Nirvana played, Sir Henry's, wasn't it? In the 90s when they supported Sonic Youth. I think that's where that was. Lads, it's Tinder that's killing the nightclubs. Young folks can hook up without a nightclub. If Tinder didn't exist, the nightclubs would be full. And Leone says, I used to DJ in nightclubs in the mid-noughties. Toured the country gigging. It was all about the club. Prior to that, 98 to 2003, it was the famous Nancy Blake's in Limerick. We used to rush at the cleanup just so we could go across to the Icon for a look. The record was 27 nights in a row. And the slow dances in 1996. Epic times, says Leone. Leone, listen, thank you for the text. 087 1400 106. Thank you to Kigo in Bray, Rosemary in Buncrana, and Martina Lowe in County Offaly as well.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.